seriously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Okay, there he was. He was translated. Enoch was translated. They were taken. There are many examples. And that he's the same God today. And there's an Elijah company. There's a mantle, there's an anointing of Elijah that's going to appear on the last day's church. Before the great day of his revealing, they will experience that. I already talked about the boat. When Jesus stepped into the boat, immediately they were translated to the shore. They had about 3 miles more to go. But immediately they were there. And the storm ceased. Number five, the Elijah company won't be afraid to challenge corrupt and ungodly government. I want to encourage you today, stand for something or you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, stop being, you know, the jelly back. They're just, you know, always the path of least resistance. You just don't want to have any contention, don't have any trouble, don't want to upset the apple cart, don't want to rock the boat. No, you ought to sink the boat and get another boat. Amen. There's some stuff you need to stand up against that's ungodly. It is ungodly, and you got to challenge that corruption.
Amen.
The Spirit of God in you will challenge that. Ahab and Jezebel, Elijah stood up to them.
Amen.
He stood up to that wicked queen and jellyback king.
Amen.
Amen. See, you can't have a Jezebel unless you have an Ahab. A head that won't be a head.
Amen.
He's just a talking head.
Amen.
He challenged evil. Number six, the Elijah company will have power over nature.
Amen.
Notice how in his destruction of the prophets of Baal and Asherah, he called down fire from heaven.
Yes.
He stopped it from raining. For 3.5 years, he stopped it. And then at his word, as he prayed, he told his servant, go and look. He said, I don't see anything. He said, go 7 times.
Amen.
And on the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud about the size, imagine a cloud about the size of a man's hand. But Elijah knew in the spirit, he said, go tell Ahab to get to Jezreel because I hear. I hear, tell somebody, I hear something. Come on, you got to clean those ears out. You got to start hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. And stop. What did Elijah do? Notice his posture. When he told his servant to go and look, Elijah wasn't looking at the sky. Reading his posture, he got down and put his head between his knees. He took his eyes off of the circumstances, took his eyes off of the sky, took his eyes off of what was around him, and got into the spirit realm. See, heaven and earth were the same, one and the same to him. He was calling out of the spirit realm, rain. Go 7 times. On the 7th time he came back, he said, I see a hand, a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, tell Abraham, go and tell him right now to get to Jezreel, because I hear now. You to get your eyes off of your circumstances and start opening up your ears to the Spirit of God. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And guess what? It started to rain. At his prayer, it started to rain. Alright? So, he had power over nature. Jesus in Mark chapter 4, he said the same thing to the storm. Peace, be still. But what you must understand is the peace that he released was not in the environment. It came from within him. He was asleep on the boat while all the others were in a panic. But he was at peace. Can you be at peace in your storm on the boat? while it's raging. If you trust God like that, if you stand in His presence, if you are a person of His presence, there's a whole lot of stuff that used to rock you. It won't shake you anymore. Are you hearing? So He stood up while His disciples were in a panic. He stood up and said, peace. But see, it had to be in Him to come out of Him. In your trials, in your tests, amen, in the times of pressure, guess what? What's in you is going to come out of you. If cussing is in you, I don't know the man. I swear I don't know the man. That's what's going to come out of you. But if you're governed by that presence, you have authority over that nature. You can speak to the fig tree. You can speak even to the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Huh? You can prophesy over the dry bones. I'm talking to the remnant. Number 7, the Elijah company will escape the Jezebel spirit. They will not be part of the Jezebel church. The Jezebel spirit that is seductive, seducing, is embracing all the things of the world. Sorceries and divinations and all this stuff. You have a lot of that in the body of Christ. People going to visit witch doctors and getting empowered to have words of knowledge. It's crazy stuff that goes on in the body of Christ. Amen. The people that sell out and overnight they get filthy rich and all of a sudden their name blows up and they're all over the place. Take note of that. They're out there. Amen. So the Elijah company escaped the spirit of Jezebel. You see, Jezebel will always war with the prophetic. To some people, the prophetic is pathetic. It's quiet up in here. I said the spirit of Jezebel will war with the prophetic. People oftentimes are afraid of the prophetic because it takes them or it demands that they come out of their comfort zone. Amen. I said it places a demand on you in your spirit to come out of your comfort zone, out of your ease in Zion. Amen. And start believing and trusting God and walking by faith. Somebody please say amen. Y'all making me sad in here. You love me less because I tell you the truth. Paul said that. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm trying to get y'all postured and positioned for this move of God that's engulfing the earth so that you're not left behind just with a call. But you have that closeness, you can ride the wave with them. So Elijah fled and escaped her threat. I want you to see something here. Why did Elijah run? That used to puzzle me. Why did Elijah run? A man of that stature and caliber, anointed like that, who slew the prophets of Baal. You know who, outran the chariot. He outran Ahab's chariot in that rainstorm for 17 miles. It wasn't a 100 meter dash. 17 miles, the brother outran the horses and got to the gate of Jezreel and stood there waiting for him. He was moving in the supernatural. But suddenly when the word came from Jezebel, I'm not the queen if you're not like one of these by this time tomorrow, he ran. Have you ever thought about that? Why would he run? Come on, man. Call fire down. destroy her. Kill her. Go over there. Strangle her. Do something. Don't run. What you running for? You just messed me up. I'm looking at you. But you know what? The reason he ran is because he was carrying legacy. He hadn't transferred legacy. For him to be killed meant that it would die with him. This is why some people aren't experiencing the fullness of God yet. You have no concern for legacy. It's all about you and what you can get from God while you here. But see, the reason Abraham was so blessed of God, God said, because I know Abraham will see to his children. He will train up his children in the right way. He will leave something for his children. His mind wasn't on him. It was on his legacy. Elijah ran because he knew what was to come in the future was in him. And if he was shut down, it would be shut down. That's why the spirit of Jezebel always tries to shut down the mouths of the prophets. You shut down the mouth, you stop the mouth of the prophet, you stop the move of God. God will do nothing except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. And what do? They speak it out. They release it out. So when she said that, he knew he was outnumbered. The gods were going to come for him. He ran. That brother ran too. We find him 85 miles away. And it shook him so much he wanted to die. He said, you know, I'm through. I'm no better than my fathers. I want to die. But look at God. He falls asleep. You know when you get in despair. You just want to go home and go to sleep. Try to sleep it off. You know, just lay your head down. It'll be all right when you wake up. Well, when he woke, it was an angel sitting there. An angel woke him and had baked him a cake. Had cruised the water. He said, arise, eat and drink. And he did, and then he went back to sleep. Angel woke him again and said, arise, eat and drink, for the journey from here is too great for you. You need heaven's intervention. You need now angel food. How many know God is just like that? When you get to that place of despair, where you ain't got nothing left, you done gave everything you have, you think you're the only one left, and the only one that's right, and the only one that's preaching, and the only one that can get it done, and the only one that God is caring for, and the only one the devil's trying to kill. Huh? God intervened. He went 40 days and 40 nights on that biscuit. And it was to the Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb. That place where God was.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.restlifefl.com. That's www.restlifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecovery.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.